Hallelujah. Would you stand with me? And do you believe that there is all power in that name? That song says everything you need is in the name. Hallelujah. I don't know what you need today, but you can find it in the name. And the power of the name is in this place today. Would you lift your hands if you have a need? And would you just invoke the power and the authority of the name? Lord, we thank you for your name. We thank you, God, that you've given us your name to speak. There is all power and authority in your name. And we speak your name over every situation. We speak healing in your name. We speak peace in your name. We speak deliverance in your name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm thankful for his name today. I said, I'm thankful for his name today. Amen. It's good to see everyone in the house of the Lord on this Sunday morning. It was 1 year ago today that this was our last service altogether because of COVID. I remember that service, Brother Brad. I was preaching that last service on Sunday night. And the power of God swept in that service. I didn't really get to preach, actually. It happened before I got to preach. And I'm thankful that his spirit was there to strengthen us for what was coming. And here we are together. And I think it's just even more the better to be gathered together with each other 1 year later, worshiping and lifting up the name that's above every name. Amen. As it was mentioned earlier, we welcome every guest to Apostolic Pentecostal Church. We're happy to have you here today. Thank you for coming. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to read Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7, and then I'm going to go to Psalm chapter 37 and verse 5. Today, if you are in a trial in your life, God wants to give you his word to you today. Today, if you have a promise or a word from God, I feel specifically that God is going to speak to you and help you. And if you have breath in your lungs, how many has breath in their lungs? I believe that God's word is going to work in your life and in my life. I'm thankful for the power of his word. Jeremiah 17 and 7 says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord. Psalm chapter 37 and verse 5 says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him. Trust in him. And he shall bring it to pass. This morning I want to preach on this title, In God We Trust. In God we trust. Would you set your Bibles down and would you lift your hands and would you ask God to speak in this place today? Lord, we thank you that we have this confidence today that we can trust in you. I thank you, God, for your word. I thank you for the power of your name and for your word that's here today. God, I pray that your word would go forth and would help us anoint my mind, my thoughts, and my voice to speak your word. Help us, God, to be open and receptive to you today. We thank you in the name of Jesus. Would you give them one more hand clap of praise before you're seated? And you may be seated. The definition of trust is a firm belief in the reliability, the truth, the ability, or strength of someone or something. It is confidence placed in a person or thing. Trust is something that is very important and very valuable to have. Trust is not automatic, but most of the time, trust has to be earned. Good business relationships are built on trust. People who depend on you, this goes from clients all the way to employees, need to confidently rely on you to treat them fairly. In the secular world, as far as business goes, once you have the trust of the client, design, pricing, product, all comes last. People buy from people because they can trust them. Though in relationships that you and I are a part of, trust is not so easily received or easily given. There is a proving process that usually takes place. Many times there is a series of instances that people have watched or depended upon you. And as you have succeeded, you have started to build their trust. Speaking of trust, there are some people or some things that should never be trusted. Have you ever heard that phrase, trust me? When somebody says that, I automatically wonder, now, why are they saying that? Why do they feel the need to tell me that I should trust them? I don't think I have ever heard a meteorologist say, trust me. And if they did, I still wouldn't trust them. Why? Because for the most part, everything that is going on in the atmosphere is out of their control and can change. They have no right to say, trust me. Have you ever heard the saying, I don't trust them as far as I can throw them? Why is that? Do you know people like that? Don't raise your hand. Most times it's because that person has not come through. They never fulfill their commitment they make you. You can't believe a word they say. They are not consistent. They are not reliable, or maybe their character is flawed. You see, trust is not something that is freely given. It is something that is earned. The words, "In God we trust," is the official motto of the United States. It was adopted as the nation's motto in 1956. A law passed in the joint resolution of Congress, the 84th Congress, and approved by President Dwight Eisenhower, July 30th, 1956, declared, "In God we trust" must appear on American currency. The phrase was first used on paper money in 1957 when it appeared on the $1 silver certificate. Political rhetoric linking the United States with a divine power emerged on a large scale with the outbreak of the Civil War in 1961. M.R. Watkinson, a Pennsylvania clergyman, encouraged the placement of "In God We Trust" on coins at the war's outset in order to help the North's cause. Such language, Watkinson wrote, would place us openly under the divine protection. That phrase, seen practically by every person to ever hold our currency, our change, and our dollar bills, has gone undetected, and really the meaning has been understood. But that phrase, "In God we trust," is a powerful phrase. And for every Christian, it outlines and underscores the belief of every Christian, or so it should. That simple phrase, "In God we trust," is not merely four meaningless words, but it is what we live by. It is what keeps us going day by day. You see, trust is not freely given, but by us simple human beings, it has to be earned. If you have walked this road called life for 6 years or 60 years, you will soon understand that we have a God that can be trusted. You see, when you're in the valley low, or you're in your journey to the mountain, or you're on the journey, or you're on the top of the mountain, you will find that there is a God that is there with you. He is with you, and He never leaves you or forsakes you. Joshua 1:9 says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of a good courage. Do not be afraid or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." He is with us. Isaiah 41:10, it says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, yes, I will help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous hand." Psalm 9:10, "And they that know the name," we sung about that powerful name, thank you praise team, it says, "And they that know the name will put thy trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee." We know Him, we know His name, and we put our trust in Him. I said it won't take long for you to realize that faithfulness is an attribute that describes God. In good times and in bad times, and sickness and in health, in blessings and in the trial, the faithfulness of God will shine on your life. Psalm 37 and 25 says, I have been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Simply stated, God is with us. God cares for us. God is with us every step of the way, and he's going to take care of his people. If you believe that, would you clap your hands today? I submit to you today that in God we trust is not simply a phrase on our money, but it is our life's motto. They are words that we live by every day, no matter the situation, no matter what I'm going through, whether I'm on the mountain or in the valley low, I will put my trust in God. The three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, trusted God no matter the outcome of their circumstance. In Daniel chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold and commanded everyone at the sound of the music to bow down and worship this image. But these boys knew that it wasn't right. They would not bow because joining the crowd around the image would have violated the first of two commandments that their God had given them. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego could have easily said, we will just conform outwardly and we will bow with our bodies, but continue to serve God in our heart. After all, it's our heart that matters. They could have easily given in to the crowd around them and saved their life and saved themselves from a lot of harm and persecution. They could have easily just bowed down and said, we're going to do this for show, but in our heart, we're really not doing this. We're serving God. But they knew that that would not please God. So Daniel 3 and 7 says, 17, if it be so, this is what they tell the king. He tells them, I'm going to give you one more chance to bow down and to worship this image. When that music plays again, you have the opportunity to save yourself. But these boys stood fast on what they believed. And they said, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. They went so far to declare this. They said, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. They took a stand and they made a decision right there that they were going to trust God. They just put their life in God's hands. They trusted that God would bring them through the fiery furnace. Their bold posture said, in this trial that we are facing right now, we are going to do what we know is right. We have faith in God. We have hope in God. And our trust is in God. So they say, if it be so, our God is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace. And he will do that. But the next verse, are they made up in their mind? No matter the outcome, they were going to trust God. Right then and there, when they said that to the king, they made up in their mind that no matter the outcome, their trust was in God. There are some things on the line here. Their life is on the line. But they made the decision to trust God. And when they made that decision to trust God, they automatically ascended into a new dimension of trust with God. Oh, they trusted him that day. They trusted him when they stood up to the king. But as soon as they made that decision, they automatically ascended to a new dimension of trust. I've come to preach today that the situation you have found yourself in, the trial that you're walking in, I feel is not by coincidence, but God has allowed you to encounter opposition so that you are faced with the opportunity to grow in your trust in God. I said we look at it as a fiery trial and we look at it as something that's coming against us, but I want to look at it today as an opportunity to grow my trust in my God. Like the three Hebrew boys, you are faced with a decision. You can take the easy way out. You can fall in line and you can give in to the opposition. Or you can put your faith and trust in God on display. They said, if it be so, our God is able to deliver us. And we believe that he's going to deliver us. But those next three words and that next verse strengthens my faith. They said, but if not, he's able and we believe and trust that he's going to do it. But if he chooses not to do it, hear us, O King, we're still going to trust him. If he chooses not to do it, we're still going to serve him. If he chooses not to do it, we're still going to worship him. Because we have taken a stand today that we are going to trust in God. God did not save them from the fire. God saved them in the fire. Oh, I feel like preaching right now for just a minute. They thought that God was going to save them from the fire. They said, if it be so, our God is able to save us from the burning fiery furnace. So many times when we face a trial in our life, we want God to save us from the fire. We don't want to get burned. We don't want to have to walk through it. But God said, I'm not saving you from the fire. I'm going to save you in the fire. Oh, there's a big difference from being saved from the fire and saving in the fire. Because when they walked, and I know that they had faith and I know that they trusted God, but I just have to believe that they were human. I just have to believe that when that furnace door opened up and they were getting ready to walk in, they were shaking their heads saying, well, we got ourselves into it. We're trusting God and we're believing in God. And when they stepped into that fiery furnace and they looked back, there was another figure standing there. God was with them in the fire. Woo! If God would have saved them from the fire, they never would have known what it felt like to have God walking with them through the fire. They never would have known what it looked like to trust God in the fire. If God would have saved them from the fire, they still would have had a faith and a trust in God. But now that they're walking around in circles in this burning fiery furnace, they have this confidence. They have this new trust. They have this ascended trust in God, this new dimension that God is going to be with me no matter where I go. When I'm walking down the street, he's with me. When I'm encountering problems and situations and trials and I'm in the fire, God is going to be with me. Hear me, somebody, today, just because you're walking in the fire does not mean that God is not going to save you and touch you. Just because God has allowed you to walk in the furnace does not mean that God doesn't care for you or he doesn't love you. But God has allowed you to walk in the fire so that he can prove himself to you and so he can grow your trust in him. When they made this decision to trust God, they grew into a new dimension of trust. When you're in the fire, and maybe you're in the fiery trial of your life right now, I've come to speak some words of encouragement. You could have given up. You could have thrown in the towel. You could have stopped being faithful. You could have stopped paying your tithes. You could have stopped being involved in the ministry that God has called you to. But you kept moving forward because you trusted God. I know that you have because you're sitting here today. I know that you've walked through the fire because you're sitting here today. The fire didn't destroy you because you have trusted God. Even though you are walking through the fire right now, I've come with a word for you today. You will not be consumed. You will not be destroyed because God is walking with you. As I was praying last night, somewhere around 10 o'clock, God began to speak to me and touch me. And he gave me this verse for somebody today, Isaiah 43:2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. And when you walk, when you walk through the fire, his word says, when you walk through the fire, when you're walking through the trial of your life, when you're walking through this trial with your family or at home, or maybe it's in your ministry, when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, neither shall the flame torch you. Why? Because God is with you and you can put your trust in him. God is with us. God is with us. In Genesis chapter 15, Abraham approaches God and tells him that he has no heir. God promised that he would be blessed and his heirs would be blessed. He says, God, you have given me no heir, so Eleazar, a servant in my household, shall be my heir. God replies, this man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood. Abraham and Sarah become impatient and they decide to take matters into their own hands. They believed in God. They trusted in God. So much so that they were waiting for the promise and they decided to take matters into their own hands. And they provided their own self an heir by the handmaiden Hagar. The boy that was born was Ishmael. Ishmael is a perfect example of why we wait on God. When God speaks to us, when God gives us a promise, we are ready to receive it now. When God gives us a word or a promise, we are excited about it and we are ready for it now. Has God ever given you a word? Has God ever given you a promise? When you received that promise, weren't you excited about it? Weren't you excited that God spoke that to you? Weren't you excited that God gave you a promise, that he gave his word to you, and we're excited about it, and we're ready to see it come to pass now? And because of our humanity, because of our excitement, because we have a word from God, any delay in the promise causes us to grow uneasy. Any delay in the promise causes us to grow impatient and it causes us to be anxious. However, most of the time when God gives us a word or a promise, there is a process that must come to pass. I said, when God gives you a word or a promise, though we are excited about it and though we are ready to receive it, right then and there, right now, God, I have faith that I could move mountains. I know that you spoke your word to me. I know, God, that you gave me this word through your word or through the man of God or through somebody else. Maybe you spoke it directly to me. And when we receive that word from God, we are ready to receive it. But most of the time when God gives us a promise, most of the time when God speaks a word into us, there is a process that must take place first. As God begins to speak to us, as God gives us a promise or a word, it is conceived in our spirit. And like a woman with child, the word and the promise begins to grow and form in our spirit. I've heard many moms, after a while of carrying their babies, we've got some new moms here today, some that are watching. After moms are carrying that baby for, let's say, I never carried a baby, so I don't know, but let's say 28 weeks, 30 weeks, 32 weeks. They are anxious for that baby to be out of their body. They are ready to have that baby. They are ready to hold that baby. One reason, I guess, sometimes it causes pain. You've got a human being. This is what my wife told me. I got a human being growing in my body. I don't know what that feels like. You mothers do. I've got a human being growing in my body, and because of the pain, I am ready for this baby to be born. I might not know what it feels like to have a human being growing in my body, but I know what it's like to have a promise growing in my spirit. And so many times when we have a promise and we have a word from God and it's growing in our spirit, it's been conceived. God spoke it into us and it's been conceived in our spirit and it begins to grow and we begin to wait and we begin to wait and we begin to wait. And then sometimes because of the pain of the word, the pain of seeing somebody else holding their baby, holding their promise, the pain of seeing somebody else being used, the pain of seeing somebody else's family serving God. We are ready for the promise to come. Sometimes it's because we have this promise that's growing inside of us, and we are so excited about the promise, and we are so excited about the word that God has conceived in our spirit. And just like a human mother, we are ready to hold it. We are ready to love on the promise, that baby. We are ready to love and kiss on that baby. We're ready because we've got a baby right here my mom's holding. Because isn't a baby so cute? When we see other people doting over babies, when we see other people and other mothers holding their baby, it reminds us of the baby that we have inside of our spirit, saying, God, I'm ready for this baby to be born. I'm ready for this promise to be born. I'm ready for this word to be birthed now. I'm ready. But so many times when that mama wants to have that baby at 28 weeks or at 30 weeks or 34 weeks or whenever it is, that baby cannot be born yet because that baby has not reached its full potential in its mother's womb. Hear me, somebody. I'm speaking to you in the Holy Ghost today. Because that baby is developing, and because the lungs aren't ready to breathe on their own, and because there needs to be weight that needs to be gained in that baby's body while it's in the womb, that baby cannot be born yet because it still has growing to do. Hear me, somebody. You've got a promise and you've got a word from God, and it's been growing in your spirit for a while now. And because of your humanity, you are ready for it to be born right now. You are ready for it to happen right now. But God's speaking to his church today, saying it's still got some growing to do. It's still got some maturing to do. It's still got some developing to do. And when it is time, that baby will be born. Would you lift your hands all over this place right now and begin to talk to God? Begin to tell him that you trust in him. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. The word that God has given you, just because it was so long ago, just because it seems like you've been waiting forever, does not mean that it was not a promise and does not mean that it was not God that spoke to you. Hear me, somebody. I'm preaching to you that you received a promise a long time ago and you thought that it would have been birthed by now. You thought that it would have come to pass by now, and it has not. So it must not have been God speaking to me. It must not have been his word. Oh, I've come to affirm you in the Holy Ghost, it was his word and it is his promise. The baby is just developing right now. Abraham and Sarah found themselves in that same place. They were ready for the promise. They trusted God. They just wanted to help God out. But God's promise is perfect and his time is perfect. Oh, that's so hard for us to grab sometimes. But God's promise is perfect and his time is perfect. Don't rush God's plan and don't minimize God's timing. Abraham has held on to his promise and has waited for 25 years for a son, the promised heir. After 25 years, God provides the son. God has fulfilled his promise. Things are looking up for Abraham. Then we read that God says to Abraham, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love and go to the region of Moriah and sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I'm going to tell you about. You and your wife conceived a promise in your spirit 25 years. You get to hold your promise in your hand. You get to love the promise that God gave you. And then all of a sudden, God says, go and sacrifice the promise. Think about that. Go and sacrifice the promise. So many times we rush through this story. I don't think we fully grasp the severity of the situation. God gave Abraham a promise, and it wasn't like it just happened right then and there, but Abraham had to wait and wait and wait and wait and wait and wait for years for the promise to come to pass. Finally, the promise has come to pass, and God has fulfilled the promise, and Sarah and Abraham are on this mountain because they're excited that God did what he said he was going to do. And then God says, now it's time. I've given you the promise. Now it's time to sacrifice the promise. Take your own flesh and blood, tie him up, put a knife through him, put him on the altar, and offer him as a sacrifice to me. At that time, I don't see in Scripture that him and Sarah argued, but can you see Sarah saying, God gave me the strength to finally have the promise, and we finally have the promise. There is no way that I'm letting you take him to that mountain. Maybe Abraham didn't tell Sarah, I don't know. But Abraham, nevertheless, Abraham rose up early in the morning and he made preparations for the journey. Abraham was unwavering in his faith and he was steadfast in his determination to obey God because he trusted God. The only way that he was going to be able to sacrifice the promise of his son was because he trusted God. Abraham and Isaac arrive at Mount Moriah. And as they arrive, Abraham piles the wood on Isaac. He grabs the torch of fire and they head up the mountain. The silence is finally broken because Isaac says, Dad, and you see him smiling, Dad, we have fire and we have wood, but aren't we forgetting something here? Where is the lamb for the sacrifice? Abraham replies with this unwavering faith and trust. God will provide. Abraham looking at his boy, looking at his flesh and blood, looking at his promise, looks him in the eyes and he says, Isaac, God's going to provide. God's going to provide. One thing I know is we can trust him, son, and God is going to provide. There was a prophetic utterance in his voice. He didn't even understand the extent of the prophecy. Son, I don't understand what's going on. I'm just being obedient to the voice of God. But one thing I know is God will provide. Abraham, not knowing the outcome of, like us who read the end of the book, built the altar with wood, grabbed Isaac and tied him up. And can you see Abraham with his knife raised, maybe saying to himself, I don't understand, God. I don't understand why you would give me this promise and then you would ask for it back. But I'm willing to do it because you've asked. And I trust in you. Isaac has his hand raised, getting ready to take the life of his own child. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. He said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him. For now I know that you fear God. Now I know that you trust God. Now I know because you would not withhold thy son. You would not withhold thine only son. You would not withhold the promise that you waited for so long. You would not withhold that from me. Now I know that you fear me. Would you stand with me? Hebrews 11 and 11 says, Through faith also Sarah received strength to conceive seed. And was delivered of a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Hear me, somebody. Just because of your age does not mean that you cannot receive a word or a promise from God. You may have heard a word or a promise from God and looking around going, there's no way he is talking to me. But the Bible says that God gave Sarah strength to receive the promise. And she trusted that God would fulfill the promise. Hebrews 11 and 17 says, By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and that he had received the promise, offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Verse 19. Accounting that God was able to raise him up. Trusting that God was able to raise him up from the dead. Believing that God was able to raise him up from the dead. Abraham said, I am willing to offer Isaac to you, God, because I just have this firm belief and trust that you're able to perform a miracle again. Abraham trusted God. This was more than likely the greatest test that Abraham had ever gone through. You see, Satan tempts, but God tests. One preacher said it like this, a faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. And this story, I want you to look at this. Trust happens on both sides. Abraham trusted that God would take care of the promise if he sacrificed it. And God found out that Abraham could be trusted, seeing he was willing to sacrifice his promise. One more scripture that we've quoted probably as long as we've been children. Proverbs chapter 3 and 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, with everything inside of you. Everything that gives you direction, with everything that you have, trust in the Lord. And then it says, and lean not unto your own understanding, because when I am in the fiery furnace, I don't understand how I'm going to come out. I don't know how I'm going to survive in the fiery furnace. And when God gives me a promise and he makes me wait, or he asks me to sacrifice the promise, I don't understand how that's all going to work out. The only thing I have to do is trust in God with all my heart. Some of you today are spiritually pregnant with a promise that God has given you. And though it may seem painful and uncomfortable at times, and even though you don't exactly know when it's going to be birthed or come to pass, I've come to affirm you in the Holy Ghost that God always fulfills his promises. And you can put your trust in God, and you can put your faith in God, and you can put your hope in God, because he always comes through. And for those of you that are in a fiery trial, probably the biggest trial of your life, hold on. God might not have saved you from the fire, but he's getting ready to save you in the fire. You can trust God. Would you lift your hands all over this place, and would you just tell him that you trust him? God, the circumstance looks like it's out of my control, and I don't understand the fiery furnace. I don't understand the trial, but my trust is in you. God, I know you gave me a word and it hasn't come to pass yet, but I'm going to trust you. God, you may have asked me to sacrifice this promise, and I can't understand why you're asking that, but I'm going to trust you. They're getting ready to sing here in just a minute, but we've got some markings here on the altar. If you're going through a trial, I want to invite you. God's getting ready to give you strength right now for this journey. If you're going through a trial, I want to invite you to come to this altar or step out in the side aisle. And this is just going to be a way of saying, God, I have faith in you and I have trust in you. If God has given you a word or a promise that has not been fulfilled yet and you don't understand why, I want to invite you to step out right now. Would you do that? I want you to step out in the aisle or come down here to the front and lift your hands and say, God, still I will trust you. All over this place, would you lift your hands and would you begin to pray that God would begin to strengthen and help your brothers and your sisters?
For your glory.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Oh, I put my trust in you.
Yes, yes.
I put my hope in you. I put my faith in you.
Would you sing that as your anthem today? Would you sing it?
I put my trust in you.
Comfortable. You're with your family. You're sitting with your family. Would you join with them right now? I know that many of you have got words and promises that God is going to save some family members that you've been praying for. Others of you have ministries that you've been waiting, promises that God has called you to do, and it hasn't taken place yet. Would you pray? Would you put your hand on your neighbor if it's your family and you're comfortable with doing that? And would you begin to pray that the power of the Holy Ghost would begin to strengthen and would begin to touch and would begin to work in their life, that they would have strength, that they would trust God with everything? That's right. It's happening all over the building right now. It's happening all over the building right now. Faith is arising. A new dimension of trust is happening right now. Able to fulfill that promise. He is able to touch that son and that daughter. Don't give up. Don't give up. Just trust Him. Put your faith and your hope in Him today.
Trust Him and let Him know, Lord, we're going to trust You. We're going to trust You in the fire. We're going to trust You through the fire, Lord. We're going to trust You no matter what. We trust You today in every fire, in every storm, in every circumstance. We trust You, Jesus. We trust You, Jesus. I know this could be considered a blanket statement. I'm not going through everything that each of you is going through. But we have every reason and right to trust Him. He hasn't failed a single one of us yet. He never failed a single instance in His Word. We have every reason and every right to trust Him, no matter the outlook or the fire that we're in. We trust the Lord. Can we thank Him for His Word this morning and that affirmation that we heard, God? I'm thankful for a reminder, Lord, if my trust was wavering, I'm thankful that You gave me another reason today through Your Word to trust You. And we thank You for that Word and the power of Your Word. We honor You and glorify You today. In Jesus' name, Jesus' name. So thankful for God's help and presence and power that's been here, both services today. What a God we serve, a God we can trust. If you didn't get a chance to listen in this morning with Peter Wright's message about giving our best effort, I encourage you to do that. God has helped us and strengthened us today.